This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Dana Jamin Nasional Berhad is the country's first and only financial guarantee insurer. What they do is that they take less than stellar financial paper and they make it into the stellar paper that many investors want. In the studio with me is Muhammad Nazri Omar, the CEO of Dana Jamin Nasional Berhad. Welcome to the studio, Nazri.
Thank you very much. Assalamualaikum and a very good morning.
Waalaikumsalam. Thank you very much for coming. In layman terms, you take a less than stellar paper and you stamp your own AAA rating on it in order for you to make the paper more attractive to investors. Could you go through with us the business model of Dana Jamin Nasional and perhaps where it sits in the government machinery?
Okay, thank you very much for that. In fact, thank you very much for this opportunity, Rahim. Dana Jamin is quite unique. We were set up by the government in 2009 as a result of the financial crisis back then. Because of the financial crisis, there was a lack of investor demand for papers, debt capital market papers. And the government realized they needed to have something to shore up investor confidence in issuance. So we were set up and owned by the government, by Ministry of Finance as well as CGC in 2009 to provide the first financial guarantee institution to enable corporates who wants to issue bonds to the market to have investor confidence so that it can be taken up.
So you provide financial guarantee to bonds and sukuk, meaning conventional and Islamic, in order to make Malaysian companies more viably attractive in the capital markets.
Okay.
Now, the biggest problem I have here is that if rating agencies and banks, particularly the DCM guys, they have rated a particular corporate to be, you know, let's say a solid A or a triple B, and they don't go any higher than that, by you giving that stamp of approval, are you artificially inflating the attractability of that particular corporate?
Okay. So, you see, the market has always been requiring for someone to be a financial guarantor, right? Because the market is not perfect all the time. There are going to be instances where market shifts in confidence quite drastically and volatility-wise. So, companies that are financially viable have problems even getting the papers out in the market, okay? Because of the market sentiment and volatility at that point in time. So when we help and enable these companies in moments of such volatility and when the market confidence is not there, we actually identify companies which we believe are financially viable in the long run, yeah? So they are almost literally like the winners in the long term. But today, because of market sentiment and situation, they need additional help. So the methodology that we base in terms of evaluating the credit strength of each transaction we look at is pretty much the same. We look at the same thing, the balance sheet, the financials, the business plan going forward, the security that we are given in terms of, and the terms and conditions that we can manage and control the client going forward in terms of covenants. So at the end of the day, we do all that evaluation analysis. Once we have a comfortable in terms of what we're getting ourselves into, then we provide the guarantee. Then the credit profile changes for the investor. And now the other crucial part I need to stress also is once we provide the financial guarantee, we don't just sit back and hope for the best. We do a lot of monitoring and follow-ups with the client. And because of the financial covenants, they have to do a lot of reporting to us to make sure they're on track. So I allude to this something like being in a passenger car, sitting in the front passenger seat. You're in it for the long drive, you know, and the client is the driver, driving the car to wherever the destination they want to go. So we can't control the car, but we can see what's happening in front of us in terms of monitoring what's going to happen and constantly influence and discuss with the driver, hey, this guy is crossing the road. You know, what are you going to do about it? You know, I slow down, you know, and we have that engagement and we have that reporting that they keep coming back to us if they want to change their direction.
So that constant engagement happens throughout your attorneyship of
exactly,
that particular paper.
Exactly. And I believe it's because of that, investors are confident in the papers that's wrapped by us because we're not just wrapping and doing nothing about it. We're making sure that it doesn't default.
Yeah. I mean, it's in your interest.
Exactly. Because it's our interest to make sure it doesn't default, we are going to be there to make sure they stay on the path, or if they need to change, it's for the better.
So how are you guys different from Dana Harta and the other guys as well?
Definitely, we were set up to provide financial guarantees for issuances in the capital market. Dana Harta, as you know, was to buy up non-performing loans from the banks and other financial institutions, whereas we are providing financial guarantee for financially viable companies going forward.
Okay, but CGC also has the same model, right?
Yeah, but CGC provides guarantee for loans.
Okay, not necessarily the fixed income instrument.
That's right. We are specifically created for that capital market.
Okay. A lot of deal flows come from CGC to your side?
The deal flow referrals come from all major sources, from banks, from corporates who just walk in, from financial advisors, even institutions. So various places. Yeah.
Now, when you guarantee these bonds or PDS or private debt security papers, in the rare occurrence that they do default, yeah. then the government will step in and pay for the default.
Okay. So what happens in our business model when we provide our financial guarantee? You're right, Ibrahim. What you mentioned just now, the rating of that issuance becomes automatically AAA because of our credit strength in the eyes of the rating agencies. Yeah. Now, what does that guarantee mean? It means that in the event there is a default, the client is unable to meet the coupon payment or the principal payment, we will then give the investors whatever the amount that we guarantee payback. Yeah? And in fact, in some cases, if depending on the situation, terms and condition, even the coupon due for that particular period in time.
Okay, depending on the DNC on that.
Yes, and so forth. So that's how we give the investors confidence. Look, if something goes wrong, Dana Jamin will step in to pay and give us back our principal at that point in time.
Doesn't this increase the risk profile of, say, the regular Malaysians in the capital markets? Because we are going to bear the brunt as Malaysians. Are we exposing ourselves unnecessarily when you guarantee these type of papers?
Okay. We at Dana Jamin take very seriously the fiduciary duty or the responsibility of safeguarding public's interest because this is public funds, right? So that's why we cannot stress important enough. When we do our evaluation, we really identify something that we believe is sustainable over the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really because of market acceptance today. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you trace back to the capital market, there were instances where single A issuance were issued in the market, for example, and it was taken up. But because of confidence issues in the market, that's why these guys cannot even issue their papers out in the market. So that's how we play a role to help financially viable companies issue their papers which otherwise wouldn't be taken up by the market investors. The corporate governance and the credit strength evaluation that we do is comprehensive because of the fiduciary duty is upon us to make sure that we don't take anything that is called this non-investment grade.
So let's talk about the CG, the corporate governance that is in place. What kind of measures that are in place to safeguard the investment that Dana Jamin is making?
Okay. So first and foremost, first deal identification. The frontliners, when they do identify deals, they go through and make sure that they identify deals that it's structurable, that can be acceptable to the credit and scrutiny and whatnot. So once they come to terms with the deal and the structuring that is agreeable with the client, they then have to go through a very rigorous test credit evaluation by the credit team.
Mm-hmm.
The credit team is independent from the frontliners, for example. And so the credit team reports directly to the board risk committee. Mm-hmm. Not even the head of credit risk doesn't even report to me. That gives the independence from the management team, yeah, and the front line. So let's say it clears the credit risk department. It then goes to a management committee meeting. And that management credit committee, not only the credit risk is there, not only the frontliners, not only me, there are also other independent directors on board who also listens and evaluates the deal. Now, in the event it passes through all this, then it goes to the board underwriting committee or the board credit committee, so to speak, to give their final endorsement. And this board credit committee comprises of independent as well as professional directors, respectable financial from the financial institutions as well as various industries to provide their evaluation as well whether this is acceptable from a credit risk perspective.
Because it's jointly owned by CGC and MOF, do you have reps between the two there?
We do. We have a representative from the Ministry of Finance as well as CGC. But the rest, the balance 6 to 7 directors are independent.
What kind of laws are regulating your business?
Okay, we are regulated by the Financial Services Act, FSA. We are actually regulated by Bank Negara Malaysia as a result of that. We are under the same scrutiny as other insurance companies and other FIs.
So you do charge a certain amount of administrative fees towards the issuers?
Okay, of course. Now, we have to be financially viable ourselves. We cannot just be... And this is one of the challenges.
Yeah, free.
This is one of the challenges we faced when we first were set up back then. People thought we were going to guarantee financially non-viable companies as well as give free of charge or very subsidized rates. Now, let me assure you again, from day one, we were aware of these challenges. So other than credit evaluation and structuring to make sure it's financially viable, the pricing is also important to us. Yeah, because we had to be able to stand scrutiny that we price it appropriately. So from day one itself, the board ensured that we will follow a methodology in terms of how we price our risk. There is a process and there's a methodology behind it. And it's externally validated by our actuary, which is an external actuary, as well as an independent risk analyst consultancy firm, which validated the pricing methodology that we have in place.
So normally on average, it would be what, 1% or 2% to the...
There is no average, it's a range. Because the risk-based pricing depends on the underlying risk rating of that corporate itself, which means the probability of default we factor in. Then, of course, the security enhancement that we get from the client, as well as the terms and conditions that we impose, and the tenor, of course, as well. All these factors into a final pricing that we identify and charge the client.
Right now, everything is done locally. Even the bonds that you issue, that you guarantee, is in ringgit. There are no foreign denominated or currencies being guaranteed?
Because when we were set up back then, the objective is very clear. We are here to assist the growth in the Malaysian economy. And we do that by developing a vibrant debt capital markets. And therefore, it's a ringgit debt capital markets. So the objective has always been then, from beginning till the end. So going forward, if the government wants to expand that mandate further, we of course be more than willing to explore that. But at this point in time, the mandate is still to develop the local economy and the local debt capital market.
As the chief executive of this firm, do you take it upon yourself to expand your proposition and lobby for the government to actually take on these foreign denominated papers?
I don't see there's a necessary to do that at this point in time. I think to help the Malaysian debt capital market already is an objective that's a responsibility that we take on seriously. There is a lot of scope that we can play in that space. So, yes, there's a real role for us to play. Just looking at the local debt capital market in terms of how we can give confidence back to the investors and the issuers to issue their bonds.
Some corporates, they are denominating their bond in US dollar, in other foreign currencies. This includes Sabra Kencana, Tenaga, as well as Petronas. Given that the smaller corporates, you know, the solid A and the triple Bs, they don't normally do that, is there an opportunity for you to actually get them to introduce this non-ringgit denominated papers?
First and foremost, for any corporates that wants to issue in US dollar denominated currency, there must be a reason for it. You either are exporting in US dollars and therefore you need to export in US dollars, or you are investing in US dollars and you're getting your return in US dollars. That's the reason normally why corporates issue in US dollars. The bigger corporates, of course, do it for funding, hedging and capping and hedging instruments and things like that. But for the smaller corporates or the corporates for the first time issuers, I think they are very much focused on growing their ringgit business first and foremost. And that's the first step in terms of tapping into the capital markets.
So right now, Benjamin is operating at a very comfortable level. Do you see yourself expanding, maybe not in terms of the business model, but in capacity, in terms of getting more issuers on board?
So today, after 5-6 years of operations, we have done slightly more than 8 billion worth of ringgit issuances. And interestingly, to highlight, about 2 billion ringgit of repayments have started coming in. From scheduled as well as unscheduled, people who realize suddenly that they can take on refinancing and take us out because things have improved, they don't need us. Effectively, they graduated from our care, so to speak. So 2 billion have actually redeemed earlier than expected as well as scheduled. And thus far, we haven't got any non-performing loans. And so where we are today, we think we are in a good position to continue our business model as well as our mandate from the government to enable corporates tap the capital markets and therefore develop the capital markets and the Malaysian economy.
Speaking about the Malaysian debt markets, I have here a Bloomberg grab that shows the issuances for the country for this year is not as strong as it was maybe in the years before. The pie itself is shrinking. The number of issuances is shrinking year on year. And in fact, the big players, you know, the traditional guys, CIMB, Maybank, even RHB, they're not grabbing in as much in the pipeline, at least for the month of May. Is the market cooling down or is there something more serious than this?
Corporates raising fundraising, there is always a basis for it, either short-term, medium-term or long-term. And when you talk about capital markets, normally it tends to be long-term, right? It's investment for the future. So the investment decision-making is always there. Today, if I'm going to invest $1 billion in something that's going to pay back over the next 10 years, I have a game plan and a business plan for it. So that has not changed. Corporates, telcos, companies, infrastructure, when they want to invest and build for the long term, that will not change. Timing, however, of when they do it may, of course, take a backseat depending on situations. And I think this is what is happening in the last 1 or 2 years because of the market volatility in terms of the oil prices, the ringgit, the cost issues and whatnot. They may have to take a step back and realize, hey, is this the best time to initiate the project? And, you know, such large corporates as Petronas, you know, have started to slow down, in fact, stretch some of the investment plans. So I think in terms of issuances, The potential is still there. The pipeline deals in terms of wanting to tap the capital market is calling when it's the best time to do it.
There are some sectors that is cooling down unnaturally. In fact, oil and gas is one of them. And I see some of your roster that is available on your website. It says here that you invest in quite a diverse amount of sectors, including MRCB Central Properties, including LBS Bina Group, a bunch of other corporates in the construction sector and so on. Is there a sector that Dato' Jabin wants to look at and wants to prop up in the sector?
Well, our mandate is to help develop the economy and develop the capital markets. As such, we look at a variety of sectors. We have no particular sectors that we don't consider. So corporates come to us from various sectors. But when we sit down and evaluate the transactions and the corporates that come to see us, we see a trend. When you want to raise money through the long-term bond market, the purpose is normally either for CapEx, you know, for long gestation period projects payback, and the size is not small. Yeah. So the sectors tend to gravitate. I'm using that loosely because it is, of course, not across the board. Tend to be corporates that are high capital intensive in nature, as well as long gestation period payback. And those tend to be infrastructure based, plantation that needs 15 years, you know, to plant up and then to get recovery and payment back. So various sectors that are in terms of capital intensive in nature, as well as long gestation payment back. There are, however, some cases where you have even consumer centers and retails, not CapEx, not maybe not so high, but the payback period is also long. And so that's the type of sectors that tends to keep coming back, we see in terms of more obvious than the other sectors.
What are the example of consumer companies that you've actually guaranteed?
Okay. We have done for Maidin. That's in the hyper-retail sector. We've done a few in terms of real estate investments type of assets, which means shopping complexes. We have done that where the rental period will also pay back over a long period of time. Therefore, you need a bond to address that.
Out of curiosity, do you have a restriction on the type of tenant that you're guaranteeing? No more than a certain amount?
That's quite interesting as well. You see, because of our objective to develop the capital markets, we see it ourselves as the best in terms of player to help stretch the depth and the breadth of the capital market, especially when it comes to tenor. Because of our the way we were set up, we don't mind going as long tenor as we need to, depending, of course, on the project. One interesting case is toll roads, for example. The concession period is over 50, 60 years, right? It doesn't make sense to pay back over less than 10 years. So in those cases, we don't mind stretching our tenor because the concession is over a long period of time to match the asset, the cash flow generating to the liability.
So, Nazri, this company was born out of the economic crisis. Its mandate is still upheld until today. Do you think there is still a necessary duty for firms like yourself, Dato' Jabin, to actually be around?
Let me again come back to the mandate and objective, right? We are here to develop the economy by developing a vibrant debt capital market. And we do that by enabling financially viable companies to tap the long-term capital markets.
Yeah, but you were mentioning just now that timing would be a key thing. There's a reason behind issuers coming out to issue those papers. 2016 doesn't seem to be that timing, I suppose.
It depends. It depends on certain sectors. It is a good time. Depending on the client. They need to build something, right? In order for their cash flow to generate on time based on their business plan, they can't wait back.
So based on this, it seems that the market can be efficient if it wants to for some reason. But when the market is efficient, let's assume that they are, is there a need for Dato' Jabin to be around?
See, in terms of developing the capital markets, we realize that if we keep just guaranteeing every single non-AAA issuers out there in the market, we realize over the last 5-6 years when we've been successful in doing that, something else has come to our attention. The single A or non-AA, non-AAA market has hardly been issuing in the last 5-6 years. Okay, because not because it's not been issuing, but we have been wrapping most of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a way, if I can use the loose terms, by us being successful, we have sort of inhibited the growth of the single A market. And the reason why that's the case is because we're there as a person to grab the single A issuance. So realizing this is, if we keep going the way we're going, there will never be a single A market theoretically because we keep wrapping every single one of the single A. Given the responsible institution that we are, owned by the government, developing the capital market is also important to us. So now we are realizing we need to create a rating diversity. It cannot be everything triple A. I mean, then the investors won't have a choice in the market when they want a higher yield type. When they're willing to take up a little bit more risky, there's nothing to take up. So realizing that, we over the last 2 years tried to identify other ways that we can provide our financial guarantee such that it doesn't have to be AAA on day one itself. Okay? So how do we do that? For example, we don't have to guarantee everything. We could do a partial guarantee. Say
on
50%.
On the same corporate?
On the same corporate, say for example. So we've been working with the rating agency to come up with a methodology given a certain corporate rating. If we were to guarantee 50%, how does it improve the credit rating to maybe one notch up or two notches up? So it doesn't necessarily be a AAA. I give you another example. What if we were to guarantee the project during construction? Post-completion, the guarantee falls off because the cash flow is quite sustainable to pay back. So the corporate can be rated on day one itself because the construction risk is taken out of the way based on the cash flow generating certainty alone.
Mm.
Yeah? All this is a different way to applying our guarantee such that on day one itself, it doesn't have to be a AAA.
So because of this, the buy effect would be diversity in the rating segments.
Therefore, investors get choices as well. Not just. At the same time, we also want to build confidence in the single A or corporates themselves, right? By doing partial, eventually the market will be comfortable to take on that risk by themselves.
I have here some numbers saying that there is a 37% take up for a quasi or grade AAA kind of bonds, another 33% for AA. Basically, is the AA, AAA are quasi bonds, 90% of the market will be taking up, and you have only 3% taking up the single A. I should call it dynamic way of doing things. So Dhananjamin, do you think this can actually improve and flatten out that kind of...
The idea is for us to help issuers tap the capital market, whether or not it's just to do our direct 100% guarantee or with other partners, for example, or doing partial and drop off. The idea is to give diversity and at the same time help people tap the capital market at the same time. I mean, not to prevent that from happening, right? The idea is to help people tap the capital market, but also to give rating diversity to the market.
Do you work closely with the capital markets people from the banks?
Of course. The way our model works is we provide the financial guarantee. The lead arranger is still required to do the submission to the SC, to do the distribution of the bonds and whatnot. So we work closely as part of the team in terms of bringing issuances to the market.
And of course, for the rating agencies, it's Mark and RAM, not so much the international guys.
Because we are rated by Mark and RAM.
Okay. So what's next for Dhananjamin going forward? 2016 seems to be a good year for everyone.
Yeah. That our mandate is not done yet because there are rooms for the market for development purposes so that we can play a role given our setup and our ownership structure. We believe there is a role for us to play in the development of the capital market.
And what is your view on the market situation right now? The ringgit is still above 4. Oil prices is still below 50. Mm-hmm. Same old, same old. Everybody's worried. Are you guys worried?
No. In any financial and economic volatility in markets, there are always winners out there. And so we believe in our role is to help identify these long-term winners who survive over such short-term volatility.
We note very clearly that there is a very comprehensive corporate governance structure that is baked into Dhananjamin's way of doing things. But because of the 1MDB scandal and other scandals that have risen so far, there seems to be a systemic flaw within, say, the financial institutions. MOF is deeply embroiled in these kind of allegations. Are you at all concerned about the things or the noise that is happening at the MOF's end and how that will translate to you doing your business because you're still half and partly owned by MOF?
No, I mean, I'm very assured that our processes in place is rigorous enough to evaluate any deal that comes to us to ensure market acceptance. Because don't forget, we have to be credible in the eyes of the investors as well, even though we're AAA. So we have to also ensure that the deals we've done is validated in terms of market. And if you notice, we've started early on to co-guarantee deals. Instead of just doing everything by ourselves, we guarantee with other commercial banks. That gives market confidence that, look, whatever we're doing is commercially viable, you know, it's long-term basis, you know, it's acceptable by...
And of course, you hedge your risk as well.
Yes, and that's the most important thing as well. We don't take everything on our own in one basket, right? We hedge the risk, we share the risk with other partners as well. And as you say, you know, more pair of eyes looking at the same thing is better than your...
With that, we end this interview. I have been speaking to Muhammad Nazri Omar, the CEO of Dhananjamin Nasrul Berhad. Nazri, thanks for being on The Grill.
Thank you very much.
I'm Ibrahim Sani for BFM 89.9.
Assalamualaikum.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.